News Talk ZB with Chris. So, the government says this boot camp idea, which was largely failed in 2009, it's different. They say it's different, it's more meaningful, it will have more wraparound support, it is longer, it is the way forward. But is it really? Well, the director of the youth justice group Just Speak is Dr. Katie Bruce, who joins me now. Good morning and thanks for your time.
Oh, good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Do you think round two of this boot camp proposal will work, given they're suggesting it's going to be better, it's going to have more resources to it, it's going to have more wraparound support, it's going to be longer? What do you say?
I say it's definitely going to be longer, but no, absolutely not. You know, this is a really disappointing move from the government and one, you know, we can be confident will not have good results.
Why do you say that?
So because it's such an old, tried and tested and outmoded idea. You know, it has been, like I say, tried and tested. Evaluations 15 years ago in the UK, government's own evaluation found young people committed more serious crimes on their release than if they had been engaged in other programs or alternatives. And you just think, well, you know, we've been there. We've tried that. We've seen what's happened in other places. We've seen what's happened here. This is not the way to go.
What do you think is a good way forward, without using that forward word? But, you know, I mean, others suggest it really does come down to trying to engage these young people and who they're associating with in their local community. That means taking a look at everything, including the intergenerational issues.
Yeah, it basically means looking at why have these young people ended up where they are in the first place. And what a military-style boot camp does not do is that it focuses very much on punishment. So what, if we're honest about who these young people are, they're often in state care. They're very often living in poverty. They're often have unsupported neurodisabilities. So those are the areas we need to look at. Investing in our education and support for children with behavioural issues, looking at our issue of poverty, these are the same vulnerable young people that the government are talking about, the need for support in other areas of their lives. Those are the kind of things that I would like to see, investing in our communities and in early intervention. Just, you know, like the social investment approach the government say that they're looking at.
I mean, it's so easy, though, isn't it, to say the social investment, and particularly with education, because presumably no matter how much education or how much you fully resource a school with perhaps additional units for troubled teenagers, there will always be teenagers that don't get the support at home, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not saying that this... I'm certainly not saying this is an easy one to crack, but I think that's what the government's trying to do here. It's trying to say, well, if we only had this... you know, this military-style solution, then all would be okay. But we have to put this in perspective. Over the last 3 years, we've had record low numbers of young people in our justice system, of youth crime, in the whole of the 25 years that we've been collecting those statistics. That's not the story that we hear. We hear those, you know, those single horrible cases of young people getting involved in trouble. But we need to put it into perspective. What we're doing largely in our youth justice system is seen as world-leading.
Which at least is something. If we take all these young people to military-style boot camps under this policy, I mean, presumably you've got to have all the resources, not just the military personnel, but, I mean, are we going to take all these social workers, addiction experts, behavioural experts with them? That's part of the problem, isn't it? That you can't just expect a military exercise to straighten out these young offenders.
No, and the government have been talking about other, what they're calling interventions that would happen while they were at these, at this camp. But this is not a therapeutic environment in which, you know, young people with serious issues, you would expect to get a good outcome, especially when you've removed them and further marginalised them from those community and family supports that are really key to them thriving later in life.
It's a tough one, but interesting though, I think, to give it some context and perspective, and it's probably quite hard for me to believe this considering the amount of youth crime we report here in Christchurch. It seems like a dairy's robbed every second moment. But overall, youth crime has decreased, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing half the number of young people in youth court than we used to. And that's a huge success, but you know, largely through media and through other sources, we do hear about those individual cases. Yeah.
Very, very sad, particularly it seems like all the dairies at the moment, I don't know why they're doing it. In fact, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, it seems, as I say, and I'm being quite serious, every week we hear at News Talk ZB a reporting on a dairy being robbed, and by and large it's always by a young person. When I say young, I often mean under the age of 20.
Mm.
Why are they doing it?
Yeah, I think dairies are, you know, they're on the front line, and it must be horrible to experience that if you are a dairy owner or someone working there when it happens. But at the same time, we've got to think again, well, why has this young person ended up there? And by further punishing or further marginalising them, that's not actually getting to the root of that. And it's likely to cause future harm and further harm than has already been caused. So what we really need to do is work out how we can reduce that, provide opportunities for our young people in our communities.
And, you know, try and break that culture of violence that's intergenerational. And that's why I think it's all very nice to say we're going to issue, instant fines for parents of kids who are caught on the street at all hours of the night. But the trouble is, if the parents don't really care about what their kid's doing at night time, they're probably not going to care about an instant fine either.
Well, it just presumes that, you know, you can force responsibility onto someone through money. And that's just not the case. You know, why are these young people out late at night? Is home not the safe environment that we would like it to be? Is that the reason why they're not there? You know, all of those sorts of questions are things that are much better looked at and providing support rather than monetary fines. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, I think is just not going to work.
Dr. Katie Bruce, Director of Youth Justice Group, Just Speak. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I do appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.